What were we talking about this morning? Can anybody tell us? Repent! Yes. We're talking about repent. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. It said, the time has come. Somebody say, the time.
Time.
Say it again. The time has come. Aren't you tired of being run over? I mean, aren't you tired of the way things are? I mean, God gets to the point and says, my, I've had enough just watching them get beat up. I mean, that's literally when he's saying, look, the time has come. I mean, where God just has to come down and make it real easy for us.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
There is a time for everything. There's a season of time for everything. And now is the time. Some say, now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. There's no better time than now. I'm going to tell you straight up, okay? The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Anybody want to know what time we were asking this question in Sister Rita's driveway, Brother Dalton and I? You know, we were asking the question, how long is it going to take? We hear all these things. When's some of this stuff going to happen? I mean, I'm tired of waiting. I want to see some of this stuff.
Amen.
If the kingdom of God is truly as near as what they're talking about, I want to see some of it. How long will it take?
Amen.
He said, the time is near. Therefore, repent and believe. Look at somebody and say, repent and believe. As you're believing, be repenting.
As you're believing, be repenting.
Be believing in your heart and repenting in your head.
Yes.
What does your head do while your heart's believing? What does your head do while your heart's believing? It's trying to run the other way and trying to find some sort of security. I mean, it's trying to do whatever it can do, amen? Because your head doesn't believe. I'm going to tell you that straight up. I mean, you can say you're believing in your spirit all you want to, but your head's saying, let me find something else real quick. Let me get a backup. But I tell you what you do. As you're believing in your heart, make sure you're repenting in your head. He said, the time has come. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Before he called them, he said one thing to them. Before he even said, follow me. Before, you know, the first thing he said, listen, kingdom of heaven is near, repent and believe. That means before even God will deal with you, those things got to be taken care of. There are a lot of people who want to follow God, and they wonder why they can't follow him. We want to follow Jesus into the promised land, don't we? Jesus said all these things, and I want to follow him right there. The greater works that he said that we should do, I'd like to follow him.
Amen.
But we didn't hear all the instructions clearly. Before he even called them by name, he said, repent and believe.
Amen.
That's good.
I mean, how many of you got the second part? Come and follow me. How many of you are following him? But you can't follow God unless you do those things. Come to repentance in your head and a faith inside your spirit. So say, Jesus preach repentance.
Jesus preach.
John the Baptist preached repentance, then Jesus came. He came and preached repentance. Whenever God wants to work with somebody, whenever God wants to do something through somebody, whenever God wants to do a miracle, he said, listen, get your head together. I'm ready for you to pop something out.
Yes.
I'm about to put something in your spirit that your head's going to have to repent before it can deal with it. You got to change your mindset before you get it. I was in the car and thinking about this morning's message, and we were talking about, you know, it's like a baby being born, and you can't get that baby out because the head's too big. Well, your miracle could be that way.
Amen.
It's too big to get through your intellect, through your own understanding, and you're trying to figure it out. No, you're going to have to change your mindset and make room for this blessing of God. Now, go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. Somebody say, Jesus was preaching.
Jesus was preaching.
And his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I wanted you to make sure you knew where that scripture was, okay? But also, Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, it said, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed. He worked miracles in certain places. Then he denounced the city where the miracles happened. Why? They did not do what? There's a whole lot of people where God's done some great things for you. God's done too much for you to still be having stupid thinking.
Amen.
I mean, God's done so much for us that our mindset should be completely different. When God does a mighty work for you, he expects you to change. When you see God move in certain areas and see God do certain things, I mean, you're not the same person you used to be. You know Jesus where you didn't know him before, and then he came in you and did all these kind of miracles. You used to think miracles didn't happen. And now that you know miracles can happen, guess what? You're not the same creature. There are certain people, listen, when God does a mighty work for you, when he breaks through for you, when he blesses you miraculously, he expects you to change your mind. If he comes in with his blessing, glory to God, you better come through with his repentance. Don't you act the same way after God brought you out, amen? You might be moping and groping and complaining and crying all the time. God's done a great work in you. He expects that mindset to change. We shouldn't stay the same. The Bible says it's for the kindness and mercy of God that does leads men to do what? That good thing that God did for you, he didn't do it for you to make you laugh. He didn't do it for you just to get you out of trouble. He did it for you so you could repent and change your mindset. That house you're living in is there to make you change your mind. That car you're driving is there to make you change your mind. That job you got that you didn't think you could get, it's there to make you change your mind. That blessing that you didn't think was coming has already come and gone. It came there so you could change your mind. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. Say, within the blessing, there's an expectation for it to make you change your thinking process. I think that's one of the things we've been talking about in Nations Church. Some of us that have been around here for a while, we see God do great and mighty things. I mean, when we're in the hole and in the rut, anybody see rut saints? I mean, you see rut saints. Somebody say rut saints. I mean, you won't have a revival, create a rut. But as soon as we get out of the hole, come on. We go back to that same old thinking. God's not there to support your negative thinking habit. He's not out there to finance your little whims and schemes and all that other stuff. He's delivered you so you could change your mind and live for him. You wonder why you keep going back? Because he's not supporting your habit. Somebody say, God doesn't support your habit. I mean, people expect God to bless them, and then after we get the blessing, we're going to live in that blessing like we used to be. No, you got to change. He said, because these people have seen the great mighty works and done all these things and did not repent, and we're not talking about just become sorry. God doesn't want you to feel sorry, but he wants you to change your mind because he said, listen, I've done so many things in here, you all should be thinking differently. Y'all don't need to be thinking like that after the things I've done for you in this city. That's what God was ticked off about. He said, listen, you don't need to be thinking the same way that you used to think. I expect differently of you. He said, woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethesda. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So with miracles and with things that go through, God expects repentance. God's done great things. And see, we go through experience that change us. I mean, we go through calamity and calamity changes. See, they went through that experience and never been the same since. You ever met somebody? I mean, she left him, and after she left him and packed up and gone, he was never the same since. After she lost that job, never the same since. I mean, the devil gets a hold of us, and then we're never the same since. He ain't thought right since, ever since that happened. You ever heard people say, that boy will never be the same again? Well, it's the same thing with God. God should get a hold of us to where we'll never be the same again. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. Somebody say, you'll be judged for thinking the same way you used to think. You know, you'll be judged by thinking the same old way and not getting out of a rut. I can't think the way I used to think when I was 10 years old. I can't even get depressed the way I used to get depressed. I mean, because my thinking has changed, we know that God is faithful. I mean, when you really believe God, you better not stay. God doesn't have any retarded babies. There is no such thing as retarded saints. And I'm talking about in the spirit, spiritually retarded. I mean, there is no such thing as spiritual retardedness. That means you just grow in your body. You just grow physically. But the mind stays there at a six-year-old. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down into the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. God's sitting here working miracles to get you to change. They didn't get any miracles in Sodom and Gomorrah. It would have been there today. Poor Lot's wife, I mean, she would have been dancing and looking good. She wouldn't be salt. She didn't get no miracle. But I tell you that it would be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Say, God expects repentance. And it's all right to look at somebody and say, hey, you got to change that thinking. Oh, that thought must go. See, we don't like to check ourselves. Anybody ever heard people say they get smart with you and you say, hey, wait a minute now, you better check yourself. Yes. I mean, I know some sayings. You get with me, you get with certain people, you'll say just one line too much and they'll put you in check. Say, wait a minute, you shouldn't have said that. Let me get you straight on this. Somebody say, let me check you. Well, if you check yourself, others wouldn't have to check you. Well, it's the same way the Bible wants us to check ourselves, to check our thoughts, to take every thought captive.
Amen.
To take every thought captive. Somebody say, check yourself. When you check yourself, that's called repentance. Some people don't want to repent. They want to repeat. It's the truth. They have no idea to repent at whatsoever. All they want to do is just repeat the same old cycle. Somebody say, repent. Or repeat. I tell you what, you won't repeat forever. God don't like the same song playing over and over again. He'll break the record.
Amen.
Seriously. Repent or repeat. I mean, heaven does get to the point where say, I can't take any more. Put them out of their misery. Enough is enough.
Amen.
How many of you ready to repeat another year?
No.
Repeat a grade.
No.
I mean, there's some schools you can go to, you know, you can be 30 years old, still in high school in certain places. Yeah, you just want to repeat stuff. I'm going to tell you about the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to repeat that stuff because you're going to repent. How do you repent? How do you change your circumstance? You don't think about it the same way that you used to. It might take a little bit of time, but it will change. I used to go through some things and it would take me longer to get out of it because of the way I thought about it. I say, well, I tell you what, I might have the same circumstance, but I'm not going to think about it the same way. And that will bring about change.
Yes.
Somebody say, repent.
Yes.
I'm going to change up on that sucker.
Amen.
You know you can change up on the devil?
Yes.
Catch him by surprise. Anybody ever seen those little computer games? You know some of you got them. You're supposed to be at work. You're on them computer games. They got them games. They be fighting one character, and all of a sudden they change. It's somebody else. That's the way the saints are. You have the ability to repent, to refresh yourself, and to renew yourself. All right, go on to Mark chapter 6, verse 4. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not there do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Somebody say, Jesus. Couldn't do a lot of stuff. You know, you can get to the point to where God can't do much with you.
Right.
I mean, you know, it says in the Bible, he couldn't do not many mighty works except only a few things, heal a few people. Somebody say, limit the power of God. He said he couldn't do some things. He said only lay hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. When God can't get the thing to you, he'll start to teach you. The problem is in what you understand. Your faith will only work in what you have knowledge of. Some people say they got all the faith but have no knowledge of anything. They never read their Bible, but they got all faith to move mountains. You better use that faith to open that book. Well, anyhow, he said, listen, he could not there do any miracles except laying hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith, and Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Jesus didn't like the idea of not being able to get much done. Did you know that? There was a reason why he couldn't get much done. There's a reason why God can't get everything accomplished he wants to get accomplished in Nations Church. There's a reason why God can't get everything accomplished in my life that he wants to get accomplished. He wants to do it. I mean, he wouldn't have went to town unless he could do something. He said, I came to do the will of the Father. And we knew what the will was. It was Isaiah chapter 61. When Jesus comes to town, he means business. He didn't come to hang out at Bethesda. He didn't come to see the water troubling. What? Why? Listen. It says right here, calling the 12. So he did this. These were his instructions. Take nothing for your journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Now, he said that. Some churches try to keep preachers that way today. Keep nothing in your pocket, nothing in your purse, no bag, no nothing. Amen. Come on. Wear sandals and not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that the people should do what? The problem was they had a bad mindset. They had a negative mindset that shorted out the power of God, and that's why God couldn't get much done. That's why they had no faith. They had a head. They had an understanding that made their faith lack. Jesus' mama said, what is the problem? Every man is given a certain measure of faith. Why isn't their faith working that I could do more than just heal a few sick folk? Therefore, I'm sending you out that you might teach so you can change their mind, change their understanding, fix their connection. God was the power of God. He was the anointing of God. He was the miracle that was right there. And he said, listen, I'm going to send you disciples back there, and I want you to tune them in. Tune them into the power. Can you see what I'm seeing right there? And they drove out many demons and anointed many people with oil and healed them. Many is much better than a few.
Amen.
Well, why? Because they preach that the people should do what?
Amen.
They preach that the people should do what? If you want more, what do you have to do? How many of you might be in situations in your life where you're just like this town where Jesus is right there, you hear all this good stuff, but not a lot of stuff is happening? He's going to come back at you and say, listen, tune in. I can do much more than this. We've been hearing that for a while, and we say, how? How many believe that God can do much more than this? Well, you must tune yourself in that you might let it happen. I'm not going to let go of God.
Amen.
I can't. Don't want to. I'm going to hold on to God. And if I'm going to hold on to God, I've got to let God be all that he wants to be. He wants to do more than this. I've got to deal with it. Somebody say repentance brings on mighty works. You got to change the way you think. What are you thinking? Are you tuned into the power of God? Is your head on straight for God to move in your midst? Somebody say, I'm ready to repent. I want to take every thought captive and change it. What's your biggest fear? What's your biggest fear? We asked some people that question on New Year's Eve. What is your fear? You're going to have to change what you think about that. Somebody say, I must change what I think. Why don't you stand up? He is holy.
He is holy.
And righteous in all of his ways.
And righteous in all of his ways.
That thing that's not happening is a result of us not wanting to repent. We must therefore renew our mind with the word of God. You got to hear it so in order that you might change through it. You have to set the word before you so that you can change into what that word says you should be. Someone say, change me.
Change,
change my heart, oh God.
Heart,
make me over again.
Over again.
You can make me whatever you want me to be. Don't let go of your promises. I dare you to change up on your situation. I dare you in the name of Jesus to change up on your situation. You better change. Change me. Oh, Lord, change me, oh, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give way to change. Receive the change of God.